Show of hands, please, for everyone who's had breakfast this morning. Have you had breakfast, kids? Anybody? Okay. Anyone not have breakfast this morning? Oh. Now, I have to say, I hope it's not that food wasn't available, but that you didn't want to eat. Because I hope you weren't starving, that there was no food in the house, and that you've not been deprived of food for that reason. Because most of us are very fortunate. We live in a land where most of us have jobs, incomes, homes we've come from, and therefore we have food available all the time. I wonder if some of the young people who've had breakfast would like to tell me what they've had for breakfast. Bacon and toasted. Toast and toast. Sorry, thank you. Bacon and toast. Thank you. Well, that's good. Bacon. Where does bacon come from mainly? Do you know where most of our bacon comes from? Does anyone know? Which country? Yeah, from a pig. Yeah, good point. But where do you think most of it? There is British bacon, UK-produced bacon. But where do you think the biggest import of bacon is from? Denmark. Thank you very much. Denmark. So when you were in the supermarket last time, look, a lot of it is Danish bacon. Okay, what's somebody else had for breakfast?
Honey, yogurt, and toast.
Honey, yogurt, and toast. Wonderful. Honey from bees, yogurt from cows, it might be from sheep, might be from goats, but it could probably from cows. And cows? Cow yogurt, yeah, dairy. And toast. Right, bread. And that bread, a lot of our wheat is grown in the UK, but where else, who do you think is the largest, or which country do you think we import the largest amount of wheat from in the UK? Anybody guess? Is a hand there, yes? Where?
Scotland.
Scotland. Well, Scotland's part of the UK, but good question. It's a bit cold up there normally. They don't have a big wheat harvest. Actually, most of it comes from the USA. USA, as well as from continental Europe, but the USA is a big exporter of wheat, and a lot of our bread is made using American wheat. What else has anybody had for breakfast? Anybody here have coffee? Few hands. Where does coffee come from? There's an awful lot of coffee in. Thank you. Okay, anybody else have any other beverage or food? Tea. Where is tea? Where is tea largely grown? Where does most of our tea come from? India and Sri Lanka and Kenya. Okay. Anybody have orange juice? Anybody have orange juice this morning? A few hands. Where does our orange juice come from? We can't grow oranges.
Spain.
Well, actually, proper oranges, most of the oranges in the shops come from Spain and the Mediterranean, but orange juice, which comes as concentrate or in those cartons, where do you think that comes from, most of them? Florida and Brazil again. Florida and Brazil. Anything else anybody had this morning for breakfast? Some of our young people, yeah.
Strawberry milkshake.
Strawberry milkshake. Wow. Well, made by him.
Oh, birthday treat.
Oh, great. Strawberry milkshake. Yeah, strawberry milkshake. Strawberries probably grown this time of the year, still in England. And the milkshake. Yes. Marmalade. Yes. Marmalade made with oranges from Seville. That was the traditional source. The reason I'm saying this is because it's harvest time. Can we have the picture for harvest up, please? Harvest. We have a harvest of produce. But as you've been hearing, the produce is from around the world. And is anybody here under seven who can tell me what harvest means? Under seven? What does harvest mean? Yeah.
It means you learn about the farmer growing all the fruit and vegetables.
You mean you learn about the farmer growing all the food and vegetables. That's right. It's virtue. So it's actually the farmer bringing in the crops So harvest is bringing in the crops that the farmers have grown throughout the year. Sometimes they have two crops a year. And harvest is God's gift to us. In Genesis, we read these words. Genesis chapter 1. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with a seed in it. And God saw that it was good. So harvest is God's gift to us. And God guarantees us harvest even when we don't deserve it. If you've read Noah's, the story of the flood, after the flood, God says these words, "I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. Nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So God's promise is that we're going to have harvest, lovely food like that represented in the picture there. Now, children, do you hope to have food again later? Are you hoping? Are you hungry already? Some of you, I know, will be dashing off to the biscuits in the corner after. I shouldn't say that. They might want to go now. But some of you will be dashing for a biscuit after this meal. But I hope most of you will be getting a meal later from your parents. I know some people didn't have breakfast. But did any of those people who didn't have breakfast, hopefully they're going to tell me they're going to eat today later sometime. Are you going to eat? There were quite a few hands here who had not had breakfast. Are you going to be eating later? Good, good. Let's have the picture. Second picture, please. Because some people have to go hungry. These are refugees. It's a war situation. People who are standing in line because they're hungry. Now, people can go hungry for all sorts of reasons. If you go up to London on an evening, and sometimes during the day, along the Strand and places like that, there are homeless people queuing up for food because they have no homes, no money, no job. And they don't know where the next meal is going to come from. So many are hungry, but we are fortunate in this place that our parents have money because they work and they provide homes for us. So you're going to have some food later, aren't you, Rory? I think Rory, you got some paper. Everybody here, hopefully, is able to have a meal later today, but many go without. And it's our responsibility as Christians to remember those who go without as well. But actually, if I ask Rory, if he could answer me, I'd say, "Are mom and dad going to feed you today or tomorrow?" I'm sure he'd say yes. And I'm sure every other child will say that as well, because they trust their parents to feed them daily. They have no idea. They're not worrying. Remember our reading said, do not worry about what you're going to eat. Well, our children are great examples to us because they don't worry. You may have money problems as a parent. You may be wondering how to pay a bill. You may be wondering how your job's going to work out and you're worried about the future. But your child, I can assure you, if they're under a certain age, will be trusting in you as mom and dad to provide them for their next meal. They're not worried about it. They're not worried at all. They know that mom and dad somehow will put food on the table later today. And that leads us to the next picture. The trust picture, please. The third one. Children are like a baby holding a parent's hand. They trust you to provide for them. So Rory and Harry are trusting Kate and Duncan to take them to the hall afterwards. I was going to say take them home, but they're going to probably be having a party. To feed them, to give them enough nourishment for today and nourishment tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. Rory is not worried. He's unconcerned. He's at the moment playing with crayons here because he knows when he's hungry, he'll just indicate to his parents and they'll give him food. Now, that's a brilliant picture of what God wants us to be like with Him. It's hard, isn't it, as adults to comprehend that we're meant to put our fingers, hold on to Him like that. But that's what it's about. He's calling us to have a relationship with Him in which we trust Him implicitly. Trust Him for the important decisions in our lives. Trust Him to know what directions we should be going to in our lives. I don't know if you're here today and don't know Him. I'll just issue with a challenge this harvest. If you don't know God, if you don't believe in God, but want to know if He's real or not, just ask Him. God, if you're real, I want to know you in these coming days. Give me a sign. Send someone to speak to me. Because I hear you are the God who answers. And I believe God will answer that prayer of yours. We have prayer ministry after the service. And if you would like to have prayer for that, that you might encounter the living God, then I encourage you, go up for prayer after the service or for something else on your mind. But we have a God who is real, He's alive, we can trust Him. Just as Rory and Harry trust their parents, Kate and Duncan, to provide daily for them. Trust. Trust is such a fundamental aspect of our relationship with our God. And in a moment, we're going to pray that trust might be part of what we are, that the people of God would trust Him with all that we have, that we would know Him, trust Him, and seek a harvest of righteousness in our lives. Because the best harvest, actually, is not the harvest most of us don't get to see. Most of us don't live on farms. We don't see the wheat being brought in by combine harvesters. We don't see the crops being brought in from the apple orchards. We don't see the harvest at all because we're town, urban dwellers. But God wants a harvest of love from each one of us. That's why we dedicated Rory today, that he might grow up to know Jesus and have a harvest of love in his life. But he wants that not just from the young, but from each one of us. So we're going to pray now. And our first prayer is concentrating on that picture, trust. I'm going to pray first. But what I want to encourage you to do is to pray out aloud or in silence for an aspect of your life in which you need to trust God. Maybe it's for a relationship to be healed, to be repaired. Maybe it's for a work situation to be resolved. You know, or for physical healing. Will you reach out in faith and trust God? So let's do that now. Father, I'm trusting you for the harvest you want to bring into this place. You want a harvest from me. You want a harvest from each one of us. So help us, Lord, to be carriers of your presence to bring about that harvest. Now, God can hear. You don't have to listen to each other. I just want us in a moment to just pray out aloud, if you can, or silently, for something in your life you need to trust God for. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. So, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Father, I just want to trust you for love and outpouring of greater love in me, Lord. That your compassion, your presence would just flow from me. That I would be completely open to every aspect of your guidance. Father, that your spirit would just flow through me. And that I would be able to bless others from the overflow of your love in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go back, Dennis, to the second picture, the hungry one. You may have heard about the situation in Indonesia. With the earthquake and tsunami, many people have been left bereft of homes, of food, of the means of getting their living. The same to the victims of the fire in Greece, the fires in Greece and California. So can we pray now aloud, if you can again, for those people who are hungry, not just abroad, though, of course, but hungry on our own streets, the streets of London, if not Bromley or Orpington. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you're the God who provides. Father, we ask that we might always be sensitive to the needs of those who go without, even halfway across the world. Father, help us to do what we can, what I can, to help those in need. Lord, release generosity within me. Release generosity within your people, that we might be known as the people who love the hungry and the oppressed and the helpless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we go back to the first picture of the harvest. You all have blessings in your life. Kate and Duncan came to give thanks to God today for Rory being given to them as a child to care for. And you have families as well. You may have loved ones who are here or not here, people you're thinking about. But you might also want to give thanks for the material things he's blessed you with, that you're not going hungry, that you know where your next meal is coming from, that you've got a job, you've got an income, you've got a home. So again, in a time of open prayer, just give thanks. You know, he can hear millions of voices at the same time. But thank him for something in your life that you know you need to give him praise for. So let's do that again. One, two, three. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Father, for your goodness in providing me. Amen. Amen. I hope you've all had something to thank God for. If you've not experienced this open prayer before, it's what the disciples would have done in the early church. We read in Acts that they prayed together and the place shook because of the fervor of their prayer. And we want to learn to pray in such a way, because it's only God who needs to hear us. He's the one who acts on the prayer, and he can hear a billion voices praying at the same time. So thank you, and continue as you go home from this place to give thanks for the harvest.